our services till next Sunday, given some of the restrictions around us gathering and the limited numbers that would be able to attend. We're continuing our series today called A Life That Gives, and Brad will be preaching in just a moment. And I can't think of a better topic for us to drill into today, given the week that we've had. Just to give you a bit of an update on where we're at the moment. We are hoping to resume services next Sunday, God willing, so we'll look forward to seeing you all there. Our fire care response has already started and meals have been delivered, and we've been very busy putting together relief funds, communicating with other local groups, and this week we hope to have a meeting with many in our, involved in our ministries to talk about how we're seeing the way that we can respond as a church, but also as Parkey Care. Parkey Fire Care team has been reinvigorated. That was a team that was started out of the ashes in 2014 with the Parkerville fires, and that ran for nearly 3 years and did amazing work. And we're so blessed to have that same team still here in the church, and they will be playing a really important part in the way that we go forward and focus on our response. Many of you no doubt want to be involved in helping in our local area and those in Gidgee and Tilden Park in the way that we respond. And can I encourage you, if you'd like to be involved, to email an email address that was sent out this week on our church update notice, the one I did yesterday, called COVID and Services, Sunday Services Update. It's the email, let me read it to you, admin@parkerville.net.au. admin@parkerville.net.au. If you'd like to be involved in fire cleanup, in meals, in pastoral care, in helping organise things, just maybe email that address and give us a bit of a heads up. This is going to be a long-term journey. We know from last time that many of the early responders will stick around for about 12 months. There'll be lots of resources and lots of money flying into this area to respond to the fire. But we'll still be here when they're gone, and we'll still have our friends that are left in a difficult place. So our heart is to do what we can do and to network with other groups that are doing a great job. So we've already got some ideas about how that could look, and we're excited to just to get everyone involved in being a church that gives as we become a life that gives. Can I pray for you now as we hear the Bible reading and then focus in on God's word? Father, I thank you for the privilege of being able to serve you in this area at this time. This week has been a roller coaster in our emotions, and there has been a time of great uncertainty, and we thank you, Lord, that you are the one that is in charge of all things. And I pray, Father, for a blessing of peace over our community. I pray, Father, for those that have lost so much, that they would find comfort in their friends, but ultimately in you. And Lord, for our part as a church, that we can respond well, that we can be, each one of us, lives that give, not focusing on ourselves, not living consumptive, self-centered lives, but living for you in a world that desperately needs a message of hope and a helping hand up. And I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hi everyone, I hope you're all keeping safe and well. The Bible reading for today comes from Proverbs chapter 11, verses 23 to 24. One person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper, and whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Take care, everyone.
Well, good morning and welcome to Church Online here at Parkerville Baptist Church. It's great to be with you. And as you know, it has been a very interesting week with ups and downs. The lockdown, which now has us back at this place that we got reasonably familiar with last year of presenting church online. And I want to just say, isn't it wonderful? Something that we can rejoice in is that in an ever-changing, unpredictable and inconsistent world that we live in, we're blessed to have a foundation of the Word of God that is ever-living, consistent, and something we can really place our hope on. So with that in mind, I prayed this morning that we will really hear from the Lord. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us wherever we are gathered and scattered. And Lord, as we navigate this space, I thank you that your word will give us a sense of stability that we need from you and a sense of security that, Lord, surpasses this life and this world. So I just commit these thoughts this morning to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So much been happening, and thank you, Deanne, for that Bible reading. I actually want to speak this morning from the subject, we are blessed to be a blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing. The scripture of Proverbs 11, 24 and 25, I love the message, how the Message Bible puts it. Let me read it to you. It says, "The world of the generous gets larger and larger." I love that thought. "The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped." I just love that thought, that people who are generous, the world, their worlds get bigger and bigger, larger and larger. And I reckon that's because when we are generous, especially when we sow generosity and are generous to people and circumstances around us, even in small ways, we never know where that will end up. And quite often, a small act of generosity, I know that I, and I'm sure many watching, have been both the recipients of generosity and also somebody who's given generosity. And maybe in a small way, but you know that small seed has made a big difference. And the world of generous people gets larger in influence, larger in relationship. Their heart gets larger for people. And I just love that thought, that releasing blessings enlarges your world. Stingy living shrinks your world. Paul put it this way when he recounts the words of Jesus in the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 35. And this is how Paul said it. He said, "In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" There it is, what Jesus' promise is. It is actually more blessed. You will be more satisfied, more gratified, more happy as a giver than a receiver. Now, that just goes against so much of the world we live in, and of it's I, and it's all about me, and how can I be satisfied? And that's the place to look after yourself first, and look after self-care, and that may be important. But I love this promise that actually when you're on the side of giving, mate, you're on the side of where real blessing is found. I read a study this week about kids and adults. And it studied their brain activity and what happened in their brain activity and also in their physiologically as they were both giving something away and receiving a blessing. For little kids, it was like just little kids sort of stuff. And did you know that what it found is that giving always produced more gratification than receiving. As the Bible says, it is more blessed when we give than receive. And I want to say, you know, being generous is not really something we do as followers of Jesus. It really isn't. Often when we think of the word generosity, we think of, I've got to give, I've got to do something. But let me submit to you that being generous is not so much what we do, but who we are as people in the image of God. I read a book the last couple of weeks from this guy, and this guy, a really good book. His name's Dave Ramsey, and it's a book about money. And he talks about, all through the book, about the theme of being generous with our money as Christians. And, you know, he became a millionaire in his 20s and lost everything, and then he became a millionaire again before he turned 40, and talks about biblical principles of being generous. And I love what he says in the book. He tells a story about building a culture of generosity with his kids. And what he would do is he would grab his kids on a, say, a Friday night or something, and get them in the car and say, to effect, we're going to the movies. And what he meant by that is, we're not really going to the movies, but he'd take them to, so in the Australian translation over here, take them to like a fast food outlet like McDonald's. But they wouldn't get out, they would sit in the car park and look through the windscreen, and he'd park where you could see all the families eating in, say, McDonald's. Then he would walk in and say, get ready, the movie's going to start, kids. He would walk in, go in and order himself a coffee. Then he would look around, and as God would lead him to find somebody that God's highlighting to bless, to be generous to, he would take a $100 note, and the kids would watch him put that $100 note under someone's coffee cup. It was one time he recounts of a mum with a few kids there, and when she wasn't looking, he slipped the $100 note under the coffee cup and just took on out of the restaurant. He then gets back to the car and says, kids, are you ready? We're going to watch the movie now. And they would just love it. It would bring so much joy to watch. And he said the same thing always happened, is that the lady would see the $100 under the coffee cup, be very surprised and shocked, look around to see if somebody is missing it, then would sort of realize the fact of the matter is somebody has purposely put it there. And he said the same response happens most times, is they look up and put their hands together and mouth the words, thank you, God. I love that story because when he talks about it, he says, you know, doing things like that and being a person like that is more of a thrill and brings more joy than anything money can buy you. And that's the difference about not just being generous in what we do, but being generous in who we are. You see, as followers of Jesus, we live in this kingdom that is sort of back to front. We're talking about giving is better than receiving, and that sounds back to front. And you know, Jesus has always had a back to front, upside down view of often the culture that we are in. For example, Jesus says that the way up is down. He says that if you are humble, and a humble person will be exalted, but if you exalt yourself, you'll be humbled. It's sort of back to front, isn't it? He also says that to be a leader is to be a servant. And Jesus came and washed feet and served. And he said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give my life, a life that gives as a ransom for many. And that's back to front. A leader, the greatest leader of all, is the greatest servant, Jesus tells us. And then this whole principle again with generosity and giving, that it is more blessed to give than receive. And Craig kicked off this short series that we're doing about generosity, a life that gives, and how it last week, and how it's all founded on the fact that we have a generous, giving God. Do you see God like that? When you think of God, do you think of a generous person? Because he really is, and the Bible in a nutshell, in that verse that Craig shared, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. That true love has to give. I like this quote that says, you can give without loving, which we know that people can do that. You can give something and have no love in it at all. But you know, you can never truly love without giving. Real love always gives. You might say you love the West Coast Eagles. And if you really love them, there's a fair chance that you have gone out and given for them. You've given some money and you've got a membership. You've probably given some time on a Saturday or Sunday and taken a whole afternoon to watch them. You probably read about them and you give of yourself to that. Why? Because true love really gives. But how much more when it comes to following Jesus, to be people who are identified as generous like the God we serve. I love what someone once said. They said, we are never more like God than when we are giving. I love that thought. I mean, Jesus himself, if we just look through, as you look through the Gospels, for example, in the Gospel of Luke, in just the first few chapters, we see that Jesus's life is characterized by perpetual generous giving to others. He was blessed, the Son of God, and all of the blessings that he had were not just to stay on the inside of him, but he would be a blessing to those around him. In just a few of the stories, let me walk you through them without going into the Gospel of Luke, but in the first few chapters, he's in a place called Capernaum, and he healed a demon-possessed man. Then he goes to Peter's house, and he heals Peter's mother-in-law who had a fever. So he cares and he gives both for a fever and for someone demon-possessed. While he's at Peter's house, he labors all night long taking care of those with demons and diseases as they just keep rocking up at the door and he just keeps giving out. He healed a leper next. Then he healed a paralytic. Then he healed a man with a withered hand. Then he taught and taught and taught principles to the multitudes. All along the same time, he called these 12 sort of uneducated, rough guys to take on a life assignment to follow him, and Jesus gave into their life generously. All that just not even halfway through the Gospel of Luke. And then if you couple that with this interesting verse in John 20, verse 25, something John said about Jesus. This is what he said. He said, "Now there were also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." Just pause for a moment and think about that. Because I've never really stopped to think about that verse, that what we see in the Gospels is a snippet of how generous and giving the life of Jesus is. And John says, you know what? There's so much more that wasn't written down, and if it was, there wouldn't be enough books in the world to contain it. That's a fascinating thought of how generous he is. Jesus is the life that truly gives. And the good news is we have that same life in us today. And so the call for Christians is to be like Christ. And I don't say this that we have to go out and try to be generous. Something should change on the inside of us when we get to know God. And we realize, you know what? Our role is to represent Jesus to the world. And as we carry his image, we carry the image organically and naturally, if you like, of a generous God. Something is rewired on the inside of you when God blesses you that you want it to flow through you. You know, Christians really should leak. We should leak of blessings all around us everywhere we go. I like what David said in Psalms 37:25. Even in the Old Testament, he says this: "I was young and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. They are always," I love that, "always generous and lend freely. Their children will be a blessing." Did you catch that? He's saying that there's some connection between being righteous, and you and I now are righteous in Christ. There's some connection about being righteous and trusting in God, that God looks after you. Why? Because you are a generous person. And your children won't have a blessing, it doesn't say, but they will be a blessing. I love that thought, because right from the start, when God made a covenant with Israel, when God's Old Testament covenants, it was a covenant that was all about being blessed to be a blessing. It started with a man called Abram. In Genesis 12, we see God coming to Abram. Let me tell you what he says to Abram, Genesis 12, because this is a great foundation, what it means to be blessed to be a blessing. "The Lord had said to Abram, 'Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you.' He said, 'I'll make you into a great nation, and I will bless you.'" You see that? God's promising, "I'm going to bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you." That last line, all the people. That this blessing I want to give you, Abraham, that I'm going to give you. See, Abraham and Sarah at the time were old, were barren, and this was an impossible blessing. And I love the fact that God comes to them and says, "This may look impossible, but I'm going to bless you so much that people will just know it had to be God. That you're going to conceive, you're going to have children, and they're going to number the stars in the sky, and through your seed is going to come the Messiah. The Jesus, the one, the Savior of the world. And that is going to bless everybody. That is going to bless all the earth," he says. But it all started with one man hearing from God saying, "I'm going to bless you. And there's a purpose for my blessing. And the purpose is that you will be a blessing, Abram. The purpose is that you will be a blessing." Ephesians and chapter 1 tells us that you and I have every spiritual blessing. That's what Jesus has done for us. We are so blessed. We are so blessed. And the purpose for our blessing is to overflow and to be a blessing to the life around us. With that in mind, go to our next scripture, if you've got your Bibles there, Acts chapter 3. And it's a story about Peter and John. In the New Testament now, as the church, early church was born, and there's, I love this thought, as Peter and John are on their way to the temple in Acts chapter 3, they're just living a life that gives, because even on their way to the temple, they weren't waiting to get to the temple to be generous, to make a difference in people's lives, but the Bible says that as they were going about their life, they saw a beggar, and this beggar couldn't walk, and he would beg for everything he could get. And this is what happened in Acts chapter 3 verse 4. It says, Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And I just want to say something there. Peter looked straight at this beggar. He looked at the need and he saw the need. He didn't shy away. He didn't have a glance and go, oh, that's a bit messy. He didn't go, oh, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see how ugly that situation is. But he actually stared at the need. And I want to encourage us in this time that we are in, at Parkerville, in our heart here, to bless the community around us. As we've seen fires still going and the devastation that they leave behind, as we see people in lockdown, people in isolation, we don't have to look far to lock eyes with a need in front of us. And if we can have eyes that see, like Peter and John, and actually lock eyes with a need and say, you know what, I'm going to sit and look at this long enough so it moves my heart with compassion. Peter looks straight at him. He sees it. And then it says, then Peter said to him, look at us. I love that thought. Peter said, we're looking at you, but you've got to look at us now. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, now notice Peter now starts to speak. Not only did he see a need, but he said something about it. And I want to encourage us, when we actually say things like, you know what, I see this need and I think I can help. I think I can be a blessing in this situation. When we do that, we suddenly become accountable to our own words because we're expressing that, hey, you know what, I'm going to speak about this. Maybe I am the solution for the need in front of me. Really, that's what Christian ministry is. Christian ministry isn't on a platform with a microphone. Christian ministry is just seeing a need in front of us and saying, God, empower me, bless you. I'm being blessed to be a blessing to this need, to the next person or thing, event in front of me. That's what it is to follow Jesus. And then Peter said this. I love what he said as he speaks it out. Silver or gold, I do not have. But what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Wow. Don't you love that? He suddenly stepped out on the words that he's spoken and he steps out in faith and he actually says, walk in the name of Jesus. Now, here's a great thought. Peter and John did not need finances to be a blessing. So often we think, oh, well, when I've got enough money, I could really help that person. When I've got enough finances, I'm going to really make a difference in the world. No, we are already blessed to be a blessing. It may not be finances, and don't think that that constrains you or holds you back. You have so much. If you're a follower of Jesus, you have what Peter had. The same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead lives in you. The same spirit to pray for somebody for healing. The same spirit to pray for somebody for a need. The same spirit to make a difference and be a blessing. And Peter stepped out in faith in that. And as he did, the Bible says he took him, verse 7, taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. See, Peter partnered with supernatural power. He still physically got involved and got down and dirty in the needs. And that's our call, to be physically into helping people with needs and seeing them. Boom. As he did this, instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. A miracle took place. Verse 8, he jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. I love this account. I love it because it speaks of the church that we see here at Parkey. It speaks of the church we see reaching out into the community and making a difference. And notice at the very end, there was glory to one name and one name only. The reason that Peter and John were blessed to be a blessing was not to give glory to their name. You notice he didn't say, oh, wow, praise Peter for this. No, he said, praising God. The name on his lips was the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He's the one we give glory to. He's the one we are all about. He's who makes us generous of spirit. And I pray that is a blessing that we can live out, because, you know, just like Peter and John, we can't give what we don't have. That's just the fact of the matter. We can't give what we don't have. But Peter was focused on what he did have. Can I encourage you in this season that we're in? What do you have? The good news is that we all have something to give because we are all new creations in Christ Jesus. We all have something to give. Did you know you can release so much blessing in so many ways at so many times? So let me challenge you with a couple of thoughts. One is, do you recognize how blessed you are? Do you recognize how blessed you are? Every time we look into the Word of God and we read the New Testament and we read what it means to be in covenant relationship with Jesus, we get a picture of how blessed we really are. We're blessed on the inside to let it flow into the outside. Again, it could be money, but it's not about money. It's about what Jesus has done. Number two, are you releasing your blessing like Peter and John? So for me, that means, am I seeing needs? Have I got a heart of compassion to see? Am I speaking about what I can make a difference in and holding myself accountable to my words? Am I stepping out in faith and actually doing action? Because the Bible says faith without works is dead. Am I taking a step? And am I seeing God move in that situation? That's a great thought this morning to land on. And as we finish up in some closing thoughts, I want to give you four things that can go, that we can be a blessing with. Four things that you don't need a lot. In fact, you've already got these four things to be a blessing with. Number one is our time. We all have the same amount of time. We wake up in the morning and we've got different bank balances than people in different places. But you know what? We wake up and we have the exact same amount of time that's been given to us. And when we give time away, I believe time is a blessing. And I believe when we give it away, we are being a blessing to somebody else. What do I mean by that? Well, the way to spell love is T-I-M-E. That's really how we spell love. I know that's the challenge as a dad having kids that want that time. That's how they really feel loved. It's not when I give them something of monetary value. But man, if they get my time, they feel the love. Maybe in this season we're in here at Parkey and Surrounds, God is calling you to give time. It could be time to volunteer. It could be time with people that are hurting right now. It could be time to help somebody in a practical way, but whatever it looks like, are you being rich with your time towards God and others? Paul noted this in a scripture I read today in 2 Corinthians 8 verse 5. He's talking about the generosity of the Macedonian churches, and he says, they gave themselves first to the Lord, so they were rich toward God, and then by the will of God to us. I just think if we're generous with our time towards God, where we say, God, my life is already yours, so my time is yours. And as we do that, we will be rich with our time towards others. And I believe there will be some great opportunities before us to give our time away that blesses people. Blessed to be a blessing. Secondly, is our talents. See, we don't have to be gifted at everything to be a blessing to others. But there's usually a couple of things, the way God has wired us with a gift, that we can use our talents in a certain unique way. The truth of the matter is, you can bless somebody way different than I can. If somebody said, Brad, I want you to cook a meal for somebody, that person probably won't feel very blessed by my cooking. But there's people watching this, I bet, that when you cook a meal for somebody, man, they feel so blessed, because you just know how to cook that meal and make it delicious. We're all wired differently. And have you thought about how you can bless somebody? And in them ways. It reminds me of a story when we were going through chemotherapy with our son in hospital, and we're in isolation, and I couldn't get out very much. But there was this one pastor, his name was Mark, and we'd have coffee together every now and then, and I'd get out of the hospital for an hour and get to have a coffee with him. I'll never forget this one time, he sort of said something interesting to me that I didn't really pick up on, but he said, Brad, I'm booking in for a coffee this week. He said, let's make it a bit longer, maybe a couple of hours if you can get out for that amount of time, and bring your running shoes, bring joggers. And I just thought, that's strange. And I said, we're going to have a coffee, aren't we? He says, yeah, meet me at the coffee shop. So I get to the coffee shop and got me joggers there. And he says, jump in the car. And I said, aren't we having a coffee? He goes, yeah, yeah, somewhere else. And we drive, and we drive all the way to this another suburb, and we end up at an indoor cricket center. And I said, what are we doing? And he said, you know how the other day you said you used to play a lot of cricket? I said, yeah. He says, well, I've booked this indoor cricket net for you, and I've paid for it, and I'm going to put balls in the bowling machine so you can blow off some steam and just smash some balls for the next hour. Because you've been in hospital, and it's been hard. And I just was blown away. For an hour there, I was just smashing balls until I couldn't smash anymore. And he just blessed me. Why did he do that? Because he had a gift of listening with a pastoral ear. And apparently I had mentioned something about cricket and he surprised me. You know, things like that you never forget. Things like that made me go, yeah, how can I use my gift of a listening ear to love other people and bless them in a way that's unique to them? We can use our talents. And thirdly, our time, our talents. And I love this one. We really can use our words to be a blessing. You know, Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus lives in us. Jesus wants to flow through us. And I believe that when we use our words to bless others, it is a powerful thing. Now, hear me well. I'm not talking about flattery and flattering people just with vacant, empty words. But I'm talking about when we use our words to really encourage somebody. Because there's no one out there dying at the moment of too much encouragement, if you haven't noticed. But when we use our words to encourage and lift up and edify, people change. People rise. That's why great coaches of sporting teams will get a player to a place where they will put their body on the line for that coach because of the way that coach encourages them, the way he speaks to them and lifts them up. The Bible says that the power of life and death are in our words, in our tongue, how we speak. Especially at the time we're in now where some people will be feeling hopeless, devastated, and rightly so, defeated. This is the time to come along with words of hope that Jesus can bring, with words of encouragement, with words of life. With a caring listening ear, sometimes the best word to say is not a word at all. Did you know that? Because sometimes we can speak and communicate without verbalizing it. And sometimes people just need you to be there, and your presence actually speaks to them that you care and that you're with them. And that's all you need to say. Other times, the right word at the right time makes all the difference. Proverbs 16:24 says this, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweet and delightful to the soul and healing to the body. Did you catch that? Pleasant words will actually, they'll do something to the soul and the body. That's incredible how they lift and inspire. Hey, this season, come on, let's see if we can be a people that are careful with our words and speak life around us. And lastly, the last thing, and there's plenty more, but these are just four simple ones, our time, our talents, our words, and of course, our resources. Of course, finances and money makes a difference. And Craig will be speaking more into this space of what the Parkerville Care Centre is doing at this time to make a difference in the devastation around us. And there'll be opportunities to give financially. But, you know, it's not just financial resources. We all have other resources that we can give away. I know that many watching would know, and I do too, that the gift of both giving finances is wonderfully joyful when you can do that for people. And the gift of receiving finances at the right time is amazingly helpful for people. So we want to remember that we are so blessed. And I think it is like that story I said at the start. It's a wow of a thing to be able to bless somebody in that way. And an exciting thing, whether it's a cup of coffee or a large gift. Jesus, it says it this way in Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Wow. That's a powerful, powerful verse. And I want to say about that verse when I read it, it's not about being motivated to give so that I get. It's not about that. If our motivation is the reason we want to give is just to get back, we're not really coming from God's heart. True generosity, true giving never has a string attached. never has a condition applied, because that's how God gives to us. That's how he gave us forgiveness. That's how he gave us Jesus, that while we were yet sinners, while we could do nothing for God, he did everything for us. That's generosity. That's the call. But the truth of this scripture is you will be more blessed when you give than when you receive. You will be more blessed to be a blessing in your giving. As I close this morning, I'm reminded of a story of a guy I've shared about before. His name's John Harper. And John Harper was a young preacher. And ironically, though, in John Harper's growing years, he nearly drowned three times and was miraculously saved each time. The story goes, though, that he would find himself all those years ago on that ship called the Titanic. And I'm sure you know what happened to the Titanic. And John Harper was on board the ship the night the Titanic went down. And documented reports reveal that John Harper, this man who was such a life that gave, he was a giver, a lover of people, a lover of God, that he was seen running the decks and he was screaming out these words, "Women, children, and unsaved, get into the lifeboats." And as he was doing that and helping people and trying to lead people to the Lord, he even kissed his little daughter, Nina, goodbye, and she got into one of the lifeboats, and he knew he'd probably never see her again. As people were jumping off, going into the icy cold waters, many dying of hypothermia, John Harper was seen swimming around the waters, going up to people on bits of debris and leading them to Christ and saying a prayer with them and praying for them to make peace with God. He went up to this one piece of debris where this young man was and shared that God loved him. And are you right with God, he said, to the effect. And this man pushed him away and rejected his offer of leading him to the Lord Jesus. It was reported that he came back to this man and tried again and said, "Come on, are you right with God? This is serious now." The man said, "No, I'm not." And the story goes that John Harper took off his life jacket and gave it to this man and said, "Well, you need this more than me." John Harper went into the waters, and as his last words were recorded, they heard him say his last words before drowning in the waters were, "Believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved." Amazingly, years later, at a survivors meeting, as people were getting up and talking about the event of the Titanic, this man got up and this man identified himself as John Harper's last convert. He had in fact given his life to Jesus and made peace with God. Why? Because John Harper knew what it was to be a blessing with all that he had been blessed with. John Harper knew that this life is temporary and the most important thing was this man's eternal security. John Harper had limited time that day, but he chose to use his time to bless others in what he had left and give them the greatest message he could give them. John Harper had a talent to tell people about Jesus. It was the way he was wired, and he decided to use his talents at that time to bless other people. John Harper had some resources. Sorry, he had words as well, as I said. He had words to bless people with, and he was going up this man, and that communication would be life-changing. And of course, John Harper had a resource to give. And it wasn't money, silver and gold has he none, but he had a life jacket. And he took off the resource of his own security and gave it to this man. And as he did, something touched this man's heart, because the generosity of John Harper so touched him in a way that led him to the Lord. So we're not doing this little series on generosity because God needs our money. We're doing it because God needs all of our life, a life that gives. Money's just a part of that, but God needs all of us because he loves us. He's a jealous God. And when he gets our heart and gets all of us, we live that life of giving like Jesus. And the truth is, there's no more blessed life to live. It is the blessed life that gives blessings away. I want to encourage you this morning. Maybe you're like that man in the story and you don't know Jesus. You've never given your heart to him. And the fact of the matter is, the truth is that God sent his one and only Son to take off his life jacket. He gave up his divinity, and Jesus walked the earth as a man, lived the life that we could not live, and died the death for our sin that we could not die, so that all who would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. You need to know that God loves you so much this morning, that he was so generous towards you. His love has given you everything. The question is, have you received the blessing? Because if you have, you'll know what I'm talking about this morning, that you are wired now to be a blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing. Let me pray as we close. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for your word that encourages, lifts up. Lord, it also rebukes at times. It also smacks us between the eyes at times and convicts us. Lord, help us to be empowered by your Spirit to be a blessing everywhere we go. We thank you that it's not something we need to work hard at because you've already blessed us abundantly. I thank you, Lord, that freely we have received, so freely we will give. I pray for every person watching. I pray, Lord, for them, if they don't know you personally, that they would pray a prayer and say, Lord, I want to know you. I want to be forgiven. I want to give my life to you because you gave your life for me. Lord, we also take this time right now to pray for everybody in the bushfire area, everybody in the areas that are impacted and affected by the bushfires of the Perth Hills. We pray, Father, for protection. We pray, Lord, for no more homes lost. We pray for protection over lives. Lord, we pray for rain, and we pray for the fires to stop and that rain would pour down and stop the fires. We pray, Lord, as people are in this time of devastation, that as they look up, they would find a loving God reaching out through the hands of his church and the kingdom on earth today. Father, I pray for people that have lost things now. Lord, would you help us, the people of God in the communities, to get around and to love and to be a blessing and to be generous in this space. Father, we commit it all to you. We commit our lives to you. We thank you for all you have blessed us with. And may it all be for your glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.